Jesus, because he first loved me. Let me all my Father had in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, he'll sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Feel the deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Let's all stand as we sing A Higher Ground this afternoon. Laura.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some way dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, let me float on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Brother Thomas, can you help me this evening?
Please bless Brother Aaron as he preaches for us there.
Amen. You may be seated. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to a cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen. Does anybody have a special night? I just know the sister Lisa's not here. Dorette, we'll sing another song. If you do, just raise your hand. But we're going to sing Glory to His Name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing to cleanse I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Let's stand. Glory to Him. Put your hands together, please. Glory to that wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to that wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I am entered in. There to my heart it keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to that wonderful name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to his name. Amen. Let's change over the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Yes. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Praise the Lord. Could be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to sing. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank the Lord for his blessings. Everybody enjoying, those that are on spring break, enjoying their spring break. And those that are not, those that are financing the spring breaks. Now somebody's got to stay around and work. Make some money for all the fun. So, but good to be in the house of the Lord. Looking forward to this weekend, the services and everything. So, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's just get ready to look into the Scripture tonight. We're going to go into Matthew chapter 9. And then before we read the Scripture, let's just all bow our heads tonight. And just all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your blessings on us, Lord, for another time to come in your house. And we just pray that you just, Lord, just help us get ourselves out of the way, Lord, that you can have the preeminence in this service tonight, Lord. Lord, we come to see from and hear from you, Lord. And we're just insufficient in ourselves, Lord. But, Lord, we come to totally depend on you, Lord, and that you just come and speak to us tonight, Father. And, Lord, we just pray for each one that's not here, Lord. You know the different needs, ones that are sick and afflicted, Lord. And we just pray that you just be with them, Lord, each need. Lord, you know what the needs are, what the desires are. And we just commit them to you, Lord. And, Lord, you just give us what we have need of today. Lord, just bless the bride around the world, Lord. And we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, begin at verse 10. There it is. And Scripture says, "And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But ye go and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. God bless the reading of the word. You may be seated. And my title tonight is called God's Qualifications. And this is from the message, What It Takes to Overcome All Unbelief. Brother Bram says, there's an old proverb that's more than a proverb. No matter who is there first, you have to play the rules of the game or you'll never win. If a runner is running around the track and one takes a shortcut and cuts through the field and beats the other one there by a half hour, still he will be disqualified at the end of the race. He's got to play it according to the rules of the game or he's disqualified. And he said, that's the way we have to do the race of life that we're running now. It has to be played according to God's qualifications or we'll lose when we get there. Whether we're president, whether we are the governor or a minister or who, what church we belong to, what denomination, the rules of the game has to be kept. We must run it fair. We must play it by the rules. We must preach the word. We must do it willingly. Paul said, I believe in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. Paul was speaking in the Olympics and so forth. That was in Greece and Rome, so forth. He knew that you had to play that game fair. If you did not, you'd be disqualified. And tonight, as born-again Christians, as believers here at the end time, we've got to play the game according to the rules. We've got to run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to the author and finisher, Jesus Christ. And so, I just want to look at a few things tonight. And the definition of qualification says a quality, accomplishment, etc., that sits a person for some function, office, or the like, a circumstance or condition required by law or custom for getting, having, or exercising a right, holding an office, or the like. The act of qualifying, the state of being qualified. The word qualified, the definition for that is to have a legal right to have or do something because of the situation you are in, or to call someone to have such a right. To achieve or to have the standard of skill, knowledge, or ability that is necessary for doing or being something, or to call someone to reach that standard. And so I just want to look at a few things tonight. And there's several scriptures that I wanted to look at tonight, but when I was thinking, this is the scripture that came to mind, is when the Pharisees were there, and you know, when Jesus came, he came to minister. The scripture said, he said, I've not come to be ministered to, but he said, I come to minister. Amen. And you know, he because he knew what his role was, what his calling was. And when he began to deal with the people, you know, there was a calling, there was a longing in the people. And you know, he came to reach out to the people, and it was the people that heard him, that had a longing, had a desire that he reached out to. Then they came, and it says, you know, he came to sit, and he said many publicans and sinners came to fellowship with him. And you know, and then it says the Pharisees came, and they were like, well, why are y'all hanging out with the lowlifes and the no goods, and you know, all of these people? But Jesus had an answer. Because, you know, he didn't go by what the Pharisees' qualifications were. See, their qualifications were, they had a certain standard. Like, listen, we're not going to hang around those people because they have a bad name. But see, when Jesus brought the word back to them, because they were supposed to know the law,
And they were supposed to know who they were and what the word was sent to do. And he said, this is what it was sent to do. He said, the physician comes to those that are sick, those that are whole, those that are well. He said, they don't need a physician. But he said, the ones that are sick and needy, he said, they're the ones that come because they're the ones that I've reached out to. And he said, they are the ones that respond to the word. They have to respond to the call. And he said, but you said, you go and learn what it means. Why? Because he made it known what he was supposed to do. Because they had such a high idea of what the Messiah was going to do, but they didn't realize that he came to be a servant. That he came to be the lowest of the low, to reach the lowest of the low. That he became what you and I were, that we might become what he is. So when he came, he stepped into this role, then he said, you need to learn and understand that. He said, then I will have mercy. Why? Because when you realize that you're not as high as you think you are, because you're not who you think you are, because you realize that you're separated from God. Because when he began to explain the scriptures to the Pharisees, you know what? They didn't have a place to stand. When the woman that they brought that was in the act of adultery, when they came and he began to write on the ground, when he began to whatever it was that he began to write on the script on the ground, but whatever it was something that was a rebuke to them. And whatever it was, but I believe what it was to her, no matter what it was to them, to her it was grace. It was grace applied to her. So when all of a sudden all of her accusers are gone, and he said, where are your accusers? Well, Lord, they're gone. And he said, well, neither do I condemn you. He said, but go and sin no more. So it was something that was given to her that was a blessing to her. But you know what? He just didn't whitewash everything, but he told her not to do it anymore. But he brought her into a fellowship, into a place. Listen, this is what you need to do. Why? Because you know what? He didn't have her under his foot. He didn't cast her out. But why? Because he came to bring sinners to repentance. But you know what? If you can't ever get to the place to realize that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you need help, you'll never get any help. But that's what God wants us to see, because the Pharisees couldn't see that. Why? Because they were so self-righteous in what they had. That it was nothing to God. It was actually a stink in his nostrils. But he wanted to reach out. This is what they come to do. And so it's not what our qualifications are, it's God's qualifications. The whole Bible is based on God's qualifications, not ours. Many times, you know, the problem is we need to see the things the way God sees them. We need to see things the way God, we need to see with God's eyes, not our eyes. You know, many times we see, you know, how Brother Branham was speaking there in Ohio, I believe it was, where he was there, and he went to that restaurant or wherever it was, and he seen the police officer and that woman in that restaurant. You know, they were gambling and, you know, all the immoral things that they had done or whatever. And, you know, he began to look at that woman and said, Lord, do my daughters have to be raised in a state that looks like that? That's the condition the world is in, that my daughters have to be raised in that. And all he could do is condemn that woman. And all of a sudden, when the Lord brought him back and said, listen, I want you to see who you are. I want you to see your condition. When he began to see the bumper blood that covered around the world, when he realized he didn't have a place to stand, he was without anything. When he stood before God, he was naked. He didn't have anything. It was only by the grace of God, the bumper blood that covered him, that made him righteous before God. And then all of a sudden, when he saw the condition, he realized that he didn't have a place to stand. Then all of a sudden, he could go and minister that woman and begin to speak to her about her condition. And then all of a sudden, you know, he goes up there and apologizes to her for the condition and for his way of thinking about her. When he began to, because when he was condemning her, there was no way that he could reach her. There was no way he could help her. But when he got to the place, when he got to see her the way God saw her, when he got beyond his own self and he began to see that, then he could help her. Then God could use him to help. And it's the same way with you and I. We have to use God's way of thinking, God's qualifications, not our own. You know, many scriptures in the Bible, we can see it through the scriptures. And there was a couple of scriptures that, you know, I was thinking about reading, but I just want to read and quote a little bit from them. But the other one that came to mind was the rich young ruler. You know, when the rich young ruler come to Jesus, and you know, he's a good master. You know, what do I need to inherit eternal life? Well, you know, the good thing is this young man, he had a lot of things going for him. But the one thing, he realized what he needed. He come to ask the man who had it what he needed. But the problem was when Jesus began to speak to him. And the scripture says that Jesus loved him. And he had a lot of good things going for him. He was moving in the right direction. But you know what? Many times people want to hear they want to know the truth, but when you tell them the truth, they don't want to hear it. They only think they want to know the truth. You know, many times people, you know, I've had times, even Brother Branham was talking about when he was in Mexico and that reporter come to him and ask him, you know, what do you believe about the Catholic Church? And he's like, I wish you wouldn't ask me that. But I'll tell you what if you want me to tell you, I'll tell you what I think. You know, and people come and they'll ask you, you know, what do you think about women preachers? Or what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? It's like, well, do you really want to know? Because, you know, if you want to know what the Scripture says, and it's not my idea, but I'm going to tell you what God qualifies. I'm going to tell you what the Word says. It ain't my idea, and it ain't me trying to pick a fight with you, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And then the fight is not, the argument is not with me, it's with what the Bible says. But when he told him, you know what you think about the Catholic Church, he says the highest form of spiritualism there was. Well, if you don't want to know, don't ask. So when you begin to ask these questions, you know, you may not want the answer. Sometimes people say, you know, they want to come and they want to get help from the preacher. Or you know, they want counseling or they want everything. Well, sometimes when they come, they don't want the answer. Because all they want you to do is pet them. You know, they want you to just pat them on the back and tell them they're okay. Well, sometimes you can't tell them that. Sometimes the word that comes is going to be cutting. It's going to be hard to swallow. It's going to be difficult. Why? Because that's what the word does. The word is corrective, but it's love. But people don't want that. And so when the rich young ruler came before Jesus and he asked him, what do I need to receive eternal life? What do I need? And he began to tell him, all the commandments that he done. Well, I've already done all those things. And he had such a great life. But when Jesus began to look at his life and tell him exactly what he had to do. You know what your hold up is, young man? You got a problem with money. You want to serve God, but you know what? Your money is your God. That's your hindrance. But you know the thing is, just like Brother Branham said, how do you get overcome one of those problems? He said, do the vice versa. Just get rid of it. And that's what Jesus told him. Listen, you got a problem with money? Here, give it all to the poor. But you know what? He told him, listen. He said, this is the plan. I've got a plan for you. It's an investment. You're going to invest all your worldly goods into the poor. And you come follow me because you're making an investment in me. And he said, you'll have treasures in heaven. That you're investing in something that all of a sudden you're going to get greater riches than what you'll have. Well, but you know, he couldn't understand that financial report. Because all of a sudden, it says the scripture says that he was very sorrowful when he heard that. Because he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So when he began to look at this situation, Man's qualifications don't work. But God has a way to qualify you for this. But you've got to follow the plan. And so when it came, this is the way that you do this, because God knows exactly where each one of us are, and He knows that what each one of us have need of. But the problem is when God begins to speak to us about it, are we going to accept the plan? Are we going to be qualified? Because, you know, there's many different qualifications that we've got to look at. But you know, when God calls a man, you know, not only He qualifies the man, and He equips the man. We'll read here in a minute. But you see, God makes the qualifications. We don't. Many times, in situations in our lives, the problem is we want to do things the way we want to do them. We want to look at it the way we want to look at it. And the problem is we look at it the wrong way. Because we're not looking at it the way God's looking at it. There was a man in the Bible that had that same problem. And his name was Saul. And Saul had an issue, because his problem was when Samuel told him what to do and how to do it, he didn't follow the plan. Because Saul got it in his mind that he was qualified to make those decisions. But it wasn't his qualification to make those decisions, because God had a man, Samuel, to give him the qualifications of what he was supposed to do. Because he was God's prophet, and the word come to the prophet, and Samuel told him what to do. And he told him, he said, when you go to Amalek, he said, you utterly destroy it. You don't take nothing there. You leave it. You burn it. Get rid of it. Amen. It's filth, and it's not for you to have. Amen. But you know, when he came, you know, he took all the... He done exactly what the people wanted to do. Well, you know, we think, because I'm qualified to make this decision, I'm qualified to say that we're going to take the best of everything. And he tells Samuel that we're going to offer this unto the Lord. Well, you know, we don't know if that's going to really be the case or not. Because you know what? Some of those nice sheep and cattle and everything may end up in somebody's barn. Some of these fine animals, some of this fine gold, some of these fine garments may end up in somebody's closet. But he goes out there and he's telling Samuel, oh, praise the Lord, we've done the work of the Lord. We've followed what was told of us. We've done what was required of us. And then when he began to tell you, he said, well, what is this lowing that I hear? Why are these people here? These are not Israelites. And why are we hearing all these animals? And Saul's, oh, we've done the work of the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've done it. And he said, no, you have not. And Samuel says in chapter 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 says, he said, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For as rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. So when he rejected the word of the Lord, then because he was not qualified to make that distinction, because he did not follow the word of the Lord, then God told him, said, listen, you're not qualified to be king anymore. You're done away with. And he said, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. Now that was twice that Samuel had to tell Saul that he was wrong before he actually believed it. He stood in the prophet's face and honestly told him that, oh, we've done it. We followed the Lord. We've done it. But when Samuel had to get real with him and had to stand in his face and tell him, listen, God has rejected you. He said, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And so he continued, therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. He obeyed the voice. And when Saul begins to Samuel begins to tell him, he's like, you know, when you were little in your own sight, when you didn't think as much of yourself, God thought enough of you to make you king. But you've gotten to the place now where I it's not following the Lord. He said, I feared the people. I was more worried about what the people thought than what God thought. I'm thinking more what they're doing. And then when Samuel rebukes him, then he says, oh, Samuel, will you turn and worship the Lord with me? Because he didn't want people to realize that God had rejected him. Samuel, will you come and put on this little show in front of the people? To show everybody it's okay. This is going to be okay. And he's like, no. I'm turning away from you. You've rejected the Lord, and I'm turning away from you. You've been rejected. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. So he already had somebody. But because of what he had done, he had been rejected. And he was turned away. Because God had given him what he was supposed to do, and he rejected it, and God rejected him. And you know, it was a heartbreaking thing for Samuel to have to do that. Because in the next chapter, Samuel never saw Saul again when he walked away from him. He turned his back on him and never went to see him again. And you know, it was a heartbreaking thing to do that. Because the scripture tells us in chapter 16, and it says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, saying I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? He said, fill thine horn with oil and to go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now, this is an interesting passage of scripture, because when, you know, Samuel is as... you know, because God's rejected Saul, and he tells him, now I've got a king, I've got somebody in mind, and I want him to be king, and I want you to go anoint him. And being the prophet of God, the first thing Samuel's like, I don't want to have to go against him. And he's like, well, God tells him, listen, you just go down there and tell him you're going to sacrifice. Because he didn't want to get in the ire of the king. But he sent him down there and said, listen, you just go down there. And when he goes down there, the scripture says he go down to sacrifice. And he said, and call Jesse, verse 3 says, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel said, after which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, cometh thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. Now what's interesting about that is, he called them to the sacrifice, but when he goes to anoint Eliab, God said, that's not the one because he was the oldest. And God says, I rejected him. But the Lord said, verse 7 said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. But the Lord seeketh not as man seeketh, for the Lord looketh on man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And he continues to call the men, the sons, and he kept rejecting them. Now, the verse before that says that Samuel called all the sons of Jesse to the sacrifice. And they were supposed to sanctify themselves. But then all of a sudden, they get down to verse 11, and Samuel says unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Yeah. Well, if he called all the children, why wasn't David already there? He should have, because if he said all your children, all your sons, well, you know what? David should have been there. Well, you know what? He was the least in the kingdom, least in the family, and he was the one that gets overlooked. Because he was the one that was out of the area. You know, he was not there. He said, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." We got him doing something because we don't want him under our feet. He gets in our way. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Amen. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came unto David from that day forward. And verse 14 says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." But it was interesting that God was looking at the man on the inward part of a man. But you know, when they called, even his own family didn't think too much of him. But God knew what kind of man David was. That God would call him when nobody else thought too much of him. God knew what kind of man he was looking for. A man after his own heart. And so, you know, we don't have the qualifications, but God knows, has the qualifications. He knows what he's looking for. And God brings a man in, and he gives him the qualifications. Now, this is from the Message of Total Deliverance. And Brother Branham is speaking of Moses. He said, and Moses, when he was called by God, he was a total, complete prophet. And when God sends a man to do anything, he completely equips him with everything that he has need of. If God calls a man to be a preacher, he puts something in him to preach with. If he calls him to be a teacher, he puts something in him to teach with. If he calls for him to be a prophet, he puts something in him to see visions and be a prophet. God always completely equips his man. And that's just what he done when he sent Moses into Egypt. He raised him up in a certain way, and he schooled him in a certain way, and he molded him and made him and fashioned him. So when he called Moses, all the things that Moses had to go through, you know, many times when people, when they have a failure, just like Moses, when Moses was pulled out of the Nile by Pharaoh's daughter and was raised up in Pharaoh's house, and he became this great man, and he had this great understanding and great learning, and was this great man. But when he became to try to do what he was called to do, what his mother told him that he was supposed to do, was supposed to be the deliverer of God's people, when his mother told him, said, "You're not the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but you're the deliverer, because we've prayed, your father and I prayed for a deliverer, because we were there when the taskmasters, we've seen people die because of the Egyptians, but God sent a deliverer, and it's you. God gave you the calling. Amen. He called you to do this." But when he came to the place, he didn't follow God's plan. He didn't do it in God's leading. He didn't do it in God's time. But he thought he could do it in his own self because he was so trained. He was so smart. He was so intelligent. He thought he could work this thing. He thought he could make a plan and make it happen. But the problem was, all he done was cause a bunch of fighting and turmoil amongst all the Israel, the children of Israel. And had a dead Egyptian. But you know, then all of a sudden, when all that happened, there's people, when people have faults and failures and problems, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, they wouldn't have anything to do with Moses. But you know why? Because you're an utter failure. You've made a big mess out of this. And so we wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. But you know what? When God brought him all through that and put him on the backside of the desert for another 40 years to beat all of the stuff of Egypt out of him, all of his learning and everything, when he beat all that out of him, and 80 years of living, God got him to the place that he wanted him to be. And it wasn't what man thought of Moses' qualifications. It's what God thought of Moses' qualifications, because God was the one that qualified him to be that. And he made him in the way that he wanted him to be. So he brought him to that place. And when he went down there, then he was in the place that he could be the deliverer. Why? Because it never changed what his calling was, but it just got him to the place that he could do it.
Amen.
Why? Because he got to the place where he could listen and follow the instructions of the Lord.
Amen.
Because God had to have, because he had to have a one-on-one experience with God to come to the place that he could do that.
Yeah.
And when he got to the place where he could come to and have an experience, then God could use him.
Amen.
Many times that's what our problem is we don't lean to that. You know, we lean to our own understanding. And Brother Brown continues on here. He says, then just like you, if you're a Christian, God don't make any halfway Christians. God makes complete Christians. He said, God don't make halfway preachers, but the preacher can be halfway. And God makes his children Christians, but sometimes they're halfway Christians. But it's not God's intention for them to be that way. It's their own ways got mixed up with the plan of God for their life, and that's what makes them the way they are. God don't want them to be halfway Christians or halfway preachers compromising on each side. He wants them to be completely stand in the breach. Them to completely stand in the breach. And he said, see, Moses, God made him a complete prophet for a complete deliverance, and Moses was completely surrendered into the hands of God. That's the reason it made him what he was. He was so complete in God till God could trust him. He come to the place, why? Because he went through those things. Because of what he had been through in his life, it brought him to the place that God could trust him, but he could yield himself to God. Brother Brown says, continuing on, he said, I wonder this morning, as Christians, if we have yielded our own will and yielded ourselves completely to God till God can trust us the place that he has put us. Why? Because we want to be used of God. Well, if God has put us in there, but have we yielded ourselves to that? Why? Because, you know, we can be halfway Christians, but we can still Christians, but are we just halfway? Are we just three quarters? Because, you know, like the old song is, you know, we're looking for 100 because 99 and a half won't do. Because if there's any part of us that has not yielded ourselves to God, then you know what? God is not looking for that. Because, you know what? You can be 99% yielded to God and be 100% failure. Because God wants us to be totally, absolutely yielded to him. We don't have a thought coming. We don't have an idea coming. It's what God says. Let us yield ourselves to him. And see, have we yielded to God and trust us in the place he's put us? He said the minister's got a place of duty to stand and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ without compromising. If he's called to be a preacher, he wouldn't spare one thing for one person if he's called to be a preacher.
Amen.
Why? Because, you know, it's not all fun and games. Why? Because everybody, you know, people are like, well, you know, preachers want to, you know, turn a blind eye to this or their family or whatever. No, it's got to be even. It's got to be, because what's good for one is good for all.
Right.
You can't just turn a blind eye to this one and that one. It's always got to be. And you know what? It's not always fun, but you know what? It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the one thing that most people are always going to see. You know, it's always going to be, well, Brother Wade said this to me, but you know, such and such got by with it. But you know what? You never see the other side of the coin. You never see the other side of the situation. Because, well, you know, Brother Dale may handle one situation a certain way and another thing comes up and he handles it a different way. And people go, well, why is that? Why was it this way and why was it that way? Why? Because God knows what he's doing.
Right.
Yeah. Many times we don't know what God has told somebody.
Amen.
Why is it? Because, you know, just like in the scripture, when people ask, well, why is this way? Why is that way? I said, well, why is it that when God says not to make any graven image, but then he turns around and tells Moses to raise up a brazen serpent for healing?
Amen.
Why? Because you've got to know God is sovereign.
Amen.
And God's going to handle it a certain way.
Yeah.
Because many times people get upset with things and it's like, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. The problem is we've not sat down and prayed and find out what God says about it. And so instead of opening our mouth and saying things before we actually pray about it and think what we're going to say. You know, when God called Moses to be the deliverer, when God called him to do a work, then you know what? There was no place, no matter what went on, you know what? Miriam and Aaron had no place to stand up and criticize Moses. No matter it was their brother that they were saying that about, it was still God's prophet. And still God had stand and rejected that and had to rebuke that. And they had to be judged for it. And sometimes, you know, why? Because we're so quick to say things and not realize what we're saying. Why? Because there's power in your words. By your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. But you've got to be careful about what you say. And so many times, you know, I just want to hold my peace or hold my tongue. I may think things, but you know what the thing is? Lord, let me pray about it before I say anything. Because many times we don't know what's going on. And so when it's not our place, then we've got to be careful what we say. That's the reason it's so important that we pray. And you pray for the leadership of this church. Yes. Because I tell you something, it's not. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to tell you this much. I don't believe there's anybody in this church that's up here that's got a position that's doing this because, you know, they want to have somebody looking at them, and it's they're doing it on their own. I believe the ministry in this church is led of God. And whether we like it or not, whether we agree with them or not, whether they hurt our feelings or not, I still believe it's a God-called ministry. And sometimes, you know, we let things get out of hand. And so that's the reason it's so important to be careful about what we say. Because you know what? It's not our qualifications for these things. It's God's qualifications. Because God lays down the law and God gives the word. And so whatever takes place, we've got to be careful about it. It can be dangerous. But that's what the devil wants us to do. Because the devil's always got to find some way. He's got to have his punch at you. He's either going to get to you, or he's going to get to the ministry. He's going to get to your family. Well, somehow he's got something that he's always going to stir the turmoil up. There's always got to be some way he's going to get to you. You know, it was said one time, and talking about being a minister. You know, it's like, you know, they talk about us being moody, and you know, we get bad attitudes and different things and. It's like, well, I don't know if we do or not. I mean, I just know that, you know, if you ever try to study or pray or something like that, you know, don't worry about it. You know, they won't say nothing to you all day long, but as soon as you start to pray, study, then, you know, everything goes wrong and everybody wants to talk to you. And, you know, there's always something that goes on. Why? Because that's God, you know, because that's when God wants to speak to you, the devil's going to hinder it. And what was it? The message, recognizing your day and its message. And Brother Brandon was talking about he said he felt like the Lord was trying to talk to him. And he said everything he done, he said the food that he ate didn't settle with him. And he said, you know, every time he said, I was in the basement. He said, I was trying to pray. I was trying to read. He said, I ended up falling asleep. He said, it was just like the Lord was trying to talk to him. He said, everywhere I'd go, he said, I was trying to get there. I was trying to hear from the Lord. And he said, it was just like the devil kept trying to hinder him the whole time. But he said, it felt like the Lord was trying to get to him. And he said, the more he had to keep pressing. He had to keep pressing forward to get to the place that the Lord could speak to him. You know, as the old saying is, you know, there's a blessing in the pressing. So you got to keep pressing. And so, you know, maybe we are that. You know, maybe preachers are that way. I don't know. But you know, I mean, but that's the thing. You've got to overcome that. Because, you know, that's just everyday life. That's, and you know, everybody's made different. As Brother Branham said, you know, we get these things, it's just the human grab bag. You know, we just have these things that come, everybody's different, everybody's personality's different. There's different things that you have to deal with. But all these things that would come our way, but you know, we just keep pressing. And you know, whatever it is, God's trying to reach us. But the devil's always going to try to hinder that. But we just keep pressing that battle. See, now this is from the mighty God unveiled. And Brother Ryan's talking about, he said in the Old Testament, Genesis 1 in the beginning, God, it's a self-existing one, the Elohim. Said the difference in the word, and it continues on about being self-existent. Said, we can't be that. He said, so God in the beginning was life, the eternal one. He said, in him was attributes, and those attributes became words, and the word became flesh. Jesus was the Redeemer. And to redeem means to bring back. If he has to bring it back, he had to be somewhere to be brought back to. So you see, all people will never be able to see it because all people wasn't in the beginning in God's thoughts. And so he continues on. He said, look at the priest. He said, when they see him express himself exactly with the word, what he was, they said, it's Beelzebub. Yep. They showed where their nature was. He said, it was in the modern thought of the day. But when the little prostitute, when he met at that gate and told her, expressed his Messiah son by telling her what she had done, he said, why? Yep. She said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. We know the Messiah, when he comes, he will tell us all these things. She was recognizing him as the Messiah, the anointed one, because he met the scripture qualifications. Don't you see, the congregation says, amen, the two pieces of paper that were coming together. She said, we know that when the Messiah cometh. So when she began to see these things, as he was talking about, they tie together. They see, because when Jesus came and he began to minister, the Pharisees didn't agree with him. They didn't see these things. But you know what? It wasn't for them to see it. Because when he was Elohim, when he was self-existing, he had those attributes inside of him. And it didn't matter where they came or where they were at, that attribute of God is always going to be displayed. It was coming to the place that God called it to. And so here's this woman that, you know, nobody thought anything of her. They, you know, who would have thought that she was the seed of God? Who would have thought that she was the one? But here she's the one that come, and when they saw the same, when she saw the same thing that the Pharisees saw, then they called it Beelzebub, and they said, you're just anointed with a devil. But when she saw it, she saw that the scriptures had come alive. When it began, she saw the scriptures being manifest in front of her and said, sir, I perceive you to be a prophet, because that's what the scripture says that would be done. And you know what? Not only did she not see that she was, she saw a prophet, but in the greater revelation that came to her through Jesus was that when she said, when the Messiah comes, he'll do these things. And he identified himself in the scripture to her. A lot of people thought, well, Jesus was just a prophet, but they didn't see that he was the Messiah. But she saw who he was. Why? Because when she received the word and she saw that God was working there, that that had to be the hand of God that was working. And when she saw that, then said, we know that when the Messiah comes, he's going to do these things. We're looking for the Messiah. When we see God on the scene and working, we know that's when the Messiah is coming one day. We don't know when he's coming, but we're looking for him. And what a great thing was when she was looking for the Messiah, she stood in front of the Messiah and he identified himself to her. She began to see who he was. Brother Bram says, and to see, now God might have had to interpret this to that. He said to get this certain ting of the bell, like the motor. When Jesus turned, he said, I am he that speaks unto you. There was no such an expression as Beelzebub. She left her water part and ran into the city and said, come, see a man who told me the things that I have done. Isn't this the very Messiah? See? He said, now what did this? Putting the old scripture with the experience that Jesus was giving her. What did it do? It made the Messiah. And did you notice quickly her sins were forgiven because at the beginning she was redeemable because she was in God's thinking at the beginning. So it redeemed her or brought her back when she seen the express scripture manifested of Jehovah, what he was and what he is. So when it became to the place that she began to see, why? Because she was looking for something, and when it was manifest in front of her, she received it. But because it was for her, it was for her day, and it was for her time. It was her time to receive it. It's the same way with you and I, brothers and sisters. Now's the time to receive the Word. The Word is made manifest now. See, many times people, they miss what's been going on, the movement of the Lord, seeing the things that was taking place. You know, they miss these things because they just gloss over it, or they don't catch it because they don't see what's taking place. But you know, here and once more, Lord, Brother Branham is speaking, and he's talking about 1933. See, catching the things that's taking place and seeing what's been going on. And when he stands there and he talks about the morning that the Holy Spirit come and told him the seven things that was going to take place. And you know, what the visions that he had was talking about what was going to take place. Now, you know, whether you believe this or not, I believe it. I believe it's thus saith the Lord. Now everybody else can spend the rest of their life trying to tear it down and say, well, it didn't really happen and this or that. Well, you know what? Y'all can, you know, they can do that or whoever, you know, whatever, that's fine. But you know, to me, it's life. To me, it's truth. I believe these things took place. When he began to talk about that, and even Brother Ramsey said, you know, he said he had those papers and he wrote them, and he said people's come to the church and actually read what he wrote, what he prophesied in the church. And, you know, people that were actually there that actually heard him say these things. Whether they believe that or not, you know, that's up to them, but I'm just one that believes it's the truth. I just... That's just me, you know. But when he talks about all these things taking place, and he said, you know, they would elect the wrong president, and right before you get to the highlighted portion there, he said, this would be a woman stand up and would govern the United States, not actually a woman but a church. Then we see her with nothing but ashes. It's going to happen. You know, you see the condition that the world is in, and whether you believe it or not, this is prophesied of what's going to take place. He said five of those things has perfectly been fulfilled exactly. How Mussolini would rise and go to Ethiopia and fall at his steps, and he would be turned to the people in shame with a woman many, many years before it happened, perfectly on the dot. It's never failed, and it won't fail because it's thus saith the Lord, and it's not contrary to these Bible. It's got to be. So the things that people, you know, when people know about, is it actually in the Scripture? Are we actually looking at things that are in the Scripture? Well, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to realize that when a prophet speaks, it speaks according to the Scripture. Why? Because if he's vindicated according to the Scripture, then what he says is truth. Then he's speaking the truth. But what's so amazing is the one thing that Brother Ram said, that even the Bible tells us about, the way that you can tell a prophet is right was when he says these things, if it comes to pass. Amen. So we know these things, but you know, the thing is what happened, what's your experience? What God has spoke to you, that's whether you can tell if it's true or not. It continues on here, and he's speaking of the organizations and everything, and he says, and she is making love to her daughters, wooing them right back again. He said, with no spiritual understanding, stripped. It's an oasis for her. Why? Because if you don't see the condition that the world is in, oh, it looks so wonderful. See the condition. They say, oh, what a grand thing it is. Oh, my. And Pentecostal men sitting in the council at Rome and sending letters around and said, it was the most spiritual time they've ever seen. How could a born-again man cut off his secret, cut off the word, and they live by a creed? That's exactly what Delilah has done today, cutting off the word, and you live by the creed. when Brother Branham was standing there and telling them, listen, you can't follow into that old denomination because you were called out of it. Because he said, come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing. And when he began to identify the spirit of the age and what was going to take place, and you can't mess with the denominations because there's a spirit on that, and it's the spirit of Antichrist, and he's calling them back, and he's calling the people back to the Word. And Brother Branham's standing there telling them what the Scripture is and identifying the day and age in which we live, and he kept telling them, and yet they go right back to that. Yeah. Why? Because they get under a spirit and an anointing. Well, you can be anointed and have false word. You can believe a lie and be anointed of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful thing, but not realized yet. And he said, but they realized they were being cut off. The word was being cut off from them. Just like Samson, when he went in there and he laid in the lap of Delilah and had his covenant cut off. The Pentecostals had the exact same thing because they thought they were qualified. They thought they had the spiritual understanding when they stood there in the days of a prophet and he began to explain to them where they were at and understand they were devoid of the Scripture. They were devoid of the word. Just because you're anointed, because the Holy Spirit falls on you, whatever you say, whatever happens is right. And that's how the devil could deceive the people. Brother Bram said, the Scripture says that they would believe a lie and be damned by it. Why? Because they're following the anointing and not following the Word. It's not just by having an anointing. It's what the Word says. He said, now look. He said, look at the defeat today. He said, from what it would be, ministers. Instead of God-called ministers of our Pentecostal group, he said, you'd have to have a doctorate degree before you get in the pulpit. He said, you got to have a fellowship card. He said, now in our great denomination of Pentecost, before you send a missionary, they got to send him before a psychiatrist, see if he can stand the mental test. He said, see, now that's right. He said, I wouldn't say that unless I could back it up. See, tell me if that's the qualification of a minister. See, God didn't need some man to come up with some idea of what would take place. Well, we've got to have something to do with this. No. God started the church the way he wanted it. And he kept the same way. And if he qualified one man to lead and preach, then guess what? He kept them all the same. Yeah. Then you know what? Then they didn't have to have some kind of qualifications. He said the Bible, they never went before any psychiatrist, but they waited in the city of Jerusalem until they were filled with power from on high. Hey, some of them could not even write their name. A few days later, one passed through the gate called Beautiful, and he had never seen them, never been before a psychiatrist. He never had his fellowship card. And he said, such as I have never seen a fellowship card produce that. Why? Because they got to have their own ideas of how things ought to operate and not realizing it's totally opposite of what the Word says. He said, what are we? He said, we are stripped, embarrassed in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. It certainly fulfills what the prophet said in 2 Timothy 3. It'd be heady, high-minded lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Amen. Why? Because they're totally stripped, embarrassed in front of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Why? Because when the truth began to be known, you know what? It was when Brother Branham stood up and he began to speak to the Pentecostals and he began to tell them, listen, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he began to talk about the same ministry that Paul had. And he began to talk about the things that Paul went through. And Paul was rejected by men. And he rejected the leaders of his day, solidly rejected his ministry and what he preached. And he said, listen, it's the same way today. The word has been made restored in our day. And he said it was totally rejected by man. It was totally rejected by the denominations. And let me tell you something. It's not just out there looking all these different places. But let me tell you, it's the same spirit of the enemy today. And he just changes. He might change his dwelling place, but let me tell you, it's the same spirit, and it's still, as the word goes forth, as the word, as the bride goes, continues on, then guess what? The spirit of the enemy, the spirit that's going to continue to battle her, is not going to be out there in the denominations. It's going to be right around this message. It's going to be right there standing, because there's still going to be a mixed multitude that's going to stand in the way. This is from God. Does God change his mind? He said, but I want you to say this. In closing, he said, God never changed his mind. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that don't mean in a certain way.
Yeah.
That means he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Is that right? He promised in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, no. Well, that was just for the apostle. He said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow them all in all the world to every creature. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink deadly things, it won't harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. He said, now that's his qualification. See, we try to qualify something. We are trying to qualify the church to what we think God's word is. We can't qualify the church. We've got to qualify to God. We've got to qualify to what God says. See, God is the one that lays down the qualifications. But you know, the thing is if we actually have, if we believe what God has said, what the qualifications are, then you know what? We still have the power to do the same thing. That we still have the power, that we still have the authority, that is still in force tonight. And it's, no matter where you think you are or who you are, if you're a believer in the Word, even the most lowest, simplest person, the least in the kingdom, still has the authority to and the still right to do that. Then you have the right to claim your God-given inheritance. God has called us to that.
Amen.
See, this is from the Smyrna church age. Brother Branham says, tongues. He said, it's time to get back to God. He said, they have a name that they live, but they are dead. He said, tongues isn't the evidence of a revival.
Right.
He said, it's the evidence of death. He said, tongues proclaim the evidence that the ceremonial religion of the Jews was over, that a new era had begun. Tongues today is ringing down the curtain on the Gentile church ages, and the gospel is going back to the Jews. People are talking about tongues heralding in a great spiritual move. They have missed the boat. The truth is that it is the writing, the finish to all of man's ideas, programs, and kingdoms, and the kingdom of God is being ushered in.
Yeah.
Wake up, people of God. Wake up. Continuing on here, he said, if you don't think this is true, just listen to this. He said, all over the world, in both Pentecostal and fundamental groups, they are organizing the businessmen. They have invaded the pulpit without a call from God. They have styled themselves the fishers of men and the founders of a move of God. And they say the gifted ministry of Ephesians 4, 10 through 13, that God gave the church has failed, and they are taking over. Here we are, right in the midst of the fulfillment of prophecy called the gainsayings of Korah, and they don't even know that they have fulfilled it. They are blindly going on preaching experience for truth. May God have pity on them. May their eyes be opened before it's too late. So when you begin to see here, he's talking about this great movement of God, the Pentecostals. Oh, well, this is the great move of God. Here's the tongues that's going to take place. And not realizing, according to Scripture, when Brother Branham said, this is judgment falling, because now is the ending of the Gentile dispensation, and it's now going back to the Jews. And not realizing now is the end of the time when this was to take place. And he began, why? Because there had to be a prophet in the scene to express this, to tell the people what was going to take place. And oh, this is a great move of God. No, the Scripture tells us that when Nebuchadnezzar and them, when they saw that, they said, you've been found weighed in the balance and found wanting. When the Scripture came down and it began, and Daniel had to Translate that, interpret what was saying, and realize that they were under judgment. And Brother Wright said that was the end of the Gentiles. And so now we've reached the end of the Gentiles, and now it's going back to the Jews. The end of the Jews. So now the word is going back to the Jews. It's the end of the Gentiles. And he begins to talk about what's to take place and people not realizing what's taking place. And when he stands here and he says, see, people are looking at these things and not realizing, but that's what was to take place. There was a falling away from the scriptures, because he said that in the end time that he would fulfill the word, but there would be a falling away. That they're turning away from the scripture. Why? Because they think they've got the truth and they don't. Right. And here they are. He says they have turned away from the real true fivefold ministry. Amen. Brother Rev said there was a gifted ministry of Ephesians 4. And that's what struck me the other day when I was reading that. He said that God gave the church. They've got to the place where they think the fivefold ministry. God gave these. He gave those gifts into the body, and these people think they've qualified. They're qualified to stand up and say this gifted ministry of Ephesians 4 has failed. And they've got their own people that are raising up. He was talking about the full gospel businessman, and Brother Brown standing there and telling him, "Listen, you are not called to be in the ministry. You're not called to be in the pulpit." But see, then it's the same spirit that's here today. It's the exact same spirit. Why? Because if they stood back there and said the fivefold ministry is not any good, it has fallen, it has failed, then guess what? It's the same spirit that's here today. We don't have to have a fivefold ministry anymore today. Why? Because it has failed. And so all of a sudden it's the same spirit, and it says they're raising up to take over. Which is exactly the same thing that we see today. We don't need a fivefold ministry. Why? Because we have the prophet. We're just going to push play. We're just going to hear what the prophet had to say. Well, you know what? That does totally away with the word of God. Why? Because God was the one that called and started the fivefold ministry. And you're not, I don't care who you are, you're not qualified to take them out. See, God put the gifts in the body, and you know what? We're not qualified to take them out. But God is the one that controls all that. See, we see the same thing as it was with the gainsaying of Korah. Oh, we're just anointed as y'all are. We've got the understanding. God speaks to us too. I wouldn't trust it no further than I could throw it. But see, that's the whole problem. People got to the place where they don't even realize that it takes God to qualify somebody. Amen. Somebody that's anointed of God. God does the calling. God does the anointing. God does the equipping. Amen. So Brother Bram says here in the Patmos vision, he said, you can't do any good until first you get in the Spirit. Amen. He said, God can't use you. He said, all your efforts are in vain until you first get in the Spirit. He said, if I sing, I will sing in the Spirit. If I pray, said Paul, I pray in the Spirit. Then if there is anything that comes to me that's any good, it's got to be revealed to me by the Spirit and confirmed by the Word. Made manifest by the results it bears. See, it's got to come by the Word. Not just some kind of thought or idea, but it's got to line up with the entire word. Amen. Yeah. Right. It's got to dovetail with everything. Amen. He said, like, in other words, if I say Jesus Christ promised in his word, he said that if I would repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, he said, I will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The first thing for me to do is to repent. He said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If I shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. First thing for me to do is repent. It's revealed to me that's true. Then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then the results is I'll receive the Holy Ghost. And he continued, if I'm sick, and he promised that if I would believe and have the elders of the church anoint me with oil, pray over me, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. He said, Lord, I believe. He said, I'll follow your instructions. Then he continues on. See, we've got, he said, when God says anything, it has to take place. So when you meet God's qualifications, just remember, God will himself manifest himself and take care of it. You just go ahead. It's a finished work. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, my, just think, God said, you do this and I'll do this. Well, if I go do this, he's got to do that. So then you've got to take him at his word and follow what he said. But he spoke it, then you've got to have it and believe it, and it's got to be quickened to you by the Scripture. So if you believe that, then if you've received the Holy Ghost, if you've received a new birth by following what the Scripture says, if you follow through that, when you receive that, then it will. The Scripture says that he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Then when he begins to lead you and begins to express these things to you, the Scripture says that in Acts 1:8, he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And then, and this is from the Message, witnesses. He said, now to be a witness, he said, a witness must be first qualified in the courts of our land and the Supreme Court. He talked about being a, you got to be examined before you can be a witness. He said, you got to stand by an examination. He said, if you've got to do that, he said, how much more will the God of heaven require an examination and a qualified witness before we are recognized in his sight as a correct witness? So he gave his commission to the disciples, or the 120, that they should wait at Jerusalem until they are qualified to be witnesses. See, there was a certain specification that we must meet before we are qualified as a witness. And this witness was to be, this qualification was to be the coming of the promised Holy Spirit to fill the church with unction. And the word unction comes from the Greek word dynamo, which means an explosion. There must be something, they must receive something before they can be a witness. He said, God never sends a man until first he has made him a qualified witness. So we have to, he said, Lord, somebody said, they throw your case out. You've got to be a right witness. You've got to have seen something or heard something. You've got to know something. They're not going to have any hearsay. You've got to know what you're talking about. He said, any attorney knows that. You cannot be a witness unless you have seen it for yourself, not what somebody else said. You have seen it and hear it, either here or see or hear, before you can be a witness. So you've got to know. And so when he calls you to be a witness, it's for a real experience to you. When you've received that Holy Spirit, when you've been brought in and you've been birthed into the body, then you become a witness to know these things, to be a witness. Why? Because when you stand up, then your life becomes a witness to people. Then it's not just some idea, but it's the truth. What the Scripture says becomes a manifestation in your life. He said, because when these things come, then he said it would be a manifestation, and the results would be the manifestation of the Word. So that's what our job is. That's what our goal is. For us to manifest these things. To know what God said and what God wants done with the Word. For us to understand who we are and what God has called us to. To realize God has qualified you to these things. Because you know what? If he's pleased with you, then he gave you the Holy Ghost. If he came to live inside of you, if he come to take up residence in you, to live through you, to manifest himself to the world through you. For you to be an overcomer. It's not, because Paul said, it's no longer I that live now, but he said, Christ that lives in me. So you know what? It's not me overcoming, but it's him through me overcoming. I can't overcome these things, but it's him through me can overcome. Then I can realize that through him, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Then I have to realize I just lean on him. Lord, I just yield myself to him. Lord, I want you to be the Lord. Not just my Savior, I want you to be the Lord. I want you to be the ruler of all things. This is what I need. This is from the Message, the Stature of a Perfect Man. And he said, I want you to take it and study it and compare it and then act upon it. See, that's what God wants us to do, to realize who we are and what God is, because these are requirements. Not just to be born again and say, well, I'm just in the family of God. Well, that's good, but you know what? There's more than that that's required. God has something that He wants you to do. There's a place for you. It's like, well, I don't know what my place is. Well, now's the time to be praying about it and seeing what God wants you to do. And realize God has equipped you to be a member, a productive member of the body of Christ. You know, because everybody in the family's got a job, and we all, no matter how small or insignificant, God gives us a job. God places us in the body, and we've got to do that portion. Because you know what? Without each individual person, without each individual member of the body, we're incomplete. We all have, whether we think, we look at ourselves and realize, well, we look at ourselves as insignificant. But you know what? In the mind of God, that's not the way God sees it. God sees you as a valuable portion of the body. A valuable part of the body. God wants you to realize who you are. Well, I'm not this, I'm not. No, God wants you to recognize who you are. And our goal, our job should be, our desire should be, just be faithful to what God has called us to. He said, I want you to take it and study it, compare it, and then act upon it. He said, don't just study it, compare it, but act upon it. When you do, take it seriously to yourself. Don't say, well, I enjoyed listening at it. I did too, but to listen at it and then receiving is different. See, it's different. See? He said, there are 7 qualifications to make this stature of God. And he continues on the 7 church ages and talks about the number of completion. And drops down. Brother Bram says, he said, let's add to our faith these things. Then we might come to the full stature of Christ, being joined together with godly love, fear of God, reverence in our heart to one another, deep respect to one another, brotherly and sisterly kindness, never vulgarity, nothing but just the purity of Holy Ghost living. See, live together, be a Christian, walk with faith, let the virtue of God flow through you. Let the knowledge of God, when it comes to right and wrong, when the devil presents something that's not exactly scriptural, walk away from it. That's right. He said, I can imagine them apostles never acted like us. They went around, probably men, a few words till they got in the pulpit. They walked in and done what they were supposed to do and walked out. Yes, sir, they had power. They had virtue. They had no arguments with men. They know where they stood. That's all. They know who they believed. They kept on walking in the Spirit, doing only. He said, just like I said the other night, one little nod, that's all had to do. All God had to do. Then nothing going to stop them. They didn't question and study and hum-haw and worry like we do whether we should do this or that. They went ahead and done it anyhow. Just one little nod, that done it just as soon. Why? How could they know it was a nod from God? They had all these virtues in here, all these qualifications, and this first little nod of God compared with every bit of this and with His Word. They knowed it was the Word of God, and away they went. Didn't have to worry about nothing else. When God spoke, they went. He said, and then, this is from Blasphemous Names, then when we have met these qualifications and become full of the virtues of God and the things of God, then the Holy Spirit comes down and seals us into the kingdom. Don't worry. Everybody will know you got it. You won't have to say, well, glory to God, I know I got it. I spoke with tongues, glory to God, I know I got it. I danced in the Spirit once. You won't have to say a word about it. Everybody will know you got it. Don't you worry. Yeah, it'll testify for itself. He will let it be known among men. Amen. So that's my desire. Lord, I want to be to the place that God can work through me and that people can see God in me. Amen. Let's all stand this evening. Have the musicians come. I want to sing that little song. I want to live the way He wants me to live. Because that's what I want. I want these virtues. They're required, but you know what? He's made a way for you to have these virtues. And if he's made a way, then he said, then you don't have to worry about it. If God's on the inside, it'll be made manifest. That's my desire.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to live until then, just no more to give. I want to love, just no more love. I could never outlove the Lord. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give.
Lord,
I want to love.
Lord, time and sight, Lord, it means nothing to you, Lord. Lord, this one that's battling this cancer, Lord, all this time, Lord, we just commit it to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. They can do, Lord, but we're turning it over to the great physician tonight, Lord. Father, we send this prayer cloth, Lord. Lord, in accordance to your scripture, Lord, Acts 19, Lord, that you can run this spirit away. And Lord, we commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we bind our faith with our brothers tonight, Lord. Lord, we've heard the word, Lord. And Lord, we put our confidence in you, Lord. Father, you said if we would ask anything in your name, Lord, we could receive it, Lord. And we commit this young lady to you in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'll come on the scene and touch her body, Lord, and show that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, touch her and let her see that you're real. Lord, and just make yourself known to her, Lord Jesus. Not just in the touching of her body, Lord Jesus, but in the touching of her soul, Lord, that you can change her heart. Lord, Father, just having a healing is a great thing, Lord, but Lord, salvation is the most important thing, Father. We just commit her to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you for it because we know it's a finished work of Calvary. Lord, we do our part, and Lord, we commit it to you, and then you do your part. And Lord, we just give you thanks for it because we know it's a finished work of Calvary in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Love till there's just no more love. I could never.
You tonight. You got it? All right. Brother Wade's coming. God bless you tonight.
Let's give our brother a big
hand. Hey, brother.
Good job. Good to see everybody here. All of our smiling faces. And we got a full weekend coming up this weekend. And Friday night will be 7 o'clock. Brother Dutch Scott will be with us. And then Saturday morning, there's a sheet downstairs for all the sisters and all that are bringing, brothers that are bringing stuff for the dinner. I don't know how many people we're going to have, but I know Brother Tom Kershane said he was definitely coming, so I don't know how many of them are coming, Brother Homer, but some of the other ones are not going to be able to, so we just don't know how many we're going to have. So let's just have a lot of food, and if you'll just do as Sister Esther and Sister June has prescribed, we should have plenty of food. But that's at 3 o'clock Saturday. It'll be a fellowship meeting. We will have some of the ministers here, and we're looking for a good time in the Lord, and we're looking for, forward to Brother Chris Long being with us. Talked to him just a few minutes ago. He's ready and ready to go, and Brother Dutch also, so we're going to have a good time. We're going to celebrate Easter and the resurrection, and we're going to have a good time. He's risen.
Amen.
He's risen.
That's right.
He's not going to.
Right.
He's risen. That's old news.
That's right.
But is he risen in you?
Right.
Has he risen in you? Have you had a resurrection day? You got to have a death first.
Right.
Got to have a death before there be a resurrection. So let's make sure there's a death first.
Right.
Then let's have a resurrection, as Paul says, to the newness of life. And then remember, Sunday, it'll be a regular, normal service. We'll have Sunday school at 9:45, and then just one service on that Sunday, and then we'll fellowship a little bit afterwards. So all hearts and minds clear. Let's pray for the ones that are still gone. Anna and Lisa and different ones are still out. June's back, thank goodness. She had a little fender bender down in Atlanta, so she's here. She's smiling. Volvo still runs, so we're good. That's all right. She got bumped in the back somewhere in Atlanta, so it's good to have her back. And good, thank you for praying for me and Thomas. We had a good time. We made it back today, too. So let's just keep everybody in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for our brother, Lord, pouring his heart out. As we listen to the ministers, Lord, we know one thing's for sure. As Brother Aaron said, we have a ministry that's sharp. It gets the point across. And, Lord, I pray that you continue to do that, because that's what we all need. We are all sheep, Lord. And we're looking to you, the shepherd, the great shepherd, the author and finisher of our faith, that said, I am the resurrection and the life, some 2,000 years ago. And, Lord, we know that one thing's for sure this weekend, we're not looking to see if you did rise. Lord, we know you rose, because you rose in our heart, Lord. Well, may we have, Lord, a rededication this weekend, Father. We've prayed and we've had Bible study and all the different things, Lord, leading up to this. And I pray, Lord, that you'll sanctify that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this coming week, Lord, that everything will be done for your honor and glory, that souls will be saved. Lord, that people will have a newness in their heart as they continue on, Lord, and it not be that it dwindles and wanes off to the next weekend, but it'll get stronger and stronger as wine. It will get better with age. Father, just be with us now as we go down the highways, Lord. Be with the ones that are not here, that are coming home pretty quick, and the ones that are sick, Lord, Sister Frieda and the different ones, Lord, Sister Johnny. We pray that you touch them, Sister Mary Darty, Lord, different ones. We think about them all the time, and we sure do miss them, Lord. We pray that they'll be back with us, Father. Lord, thank you for all the things you've given us. We love you for your many blessings that you have given us already, and looking forward to the ones that are coming. Lord, be with the ministers as they come this weekend. Lord, give them the words of eternal life to speak to us, Lord. It's on time. You're an on time God. If we just get ourselves out of the way, Lord, as our brother said, and let you show yourself through our fivefold ministry, Lord, I pray that you'd do that for us this weekend, Lord. Just be with us now and furtherment, Lord, of this evening, Lord, as we go home. Take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
The moon is on, my Lord, the moon is on.